by thanking Uncle Dave and everyone else here for the invitation and the privilege to come here and share about the work in Albania. And as he was mentioning my grandmother, I do know that it's through her prayers and through the prayers of other godly family members that I've had that God first brought me to himself and called me to the service and the work that he's given, and also that he brought my wife and I together. And before we looked at the slide presentation and I talked about the work in Albania and in Kosovo, and it is really exciting what God's doing there, I wanted to share a little bit about my background and how I came to be where we are today. I was raised in a Christian home, and when I was 5 years old, my grandmother, Betty McGee, who Mr. Stifler or Uncle Dave was just mentioning, took me out to eat, and she'd done this a few times, but this particular night was the night that God chose to work in my heart and bring me to salvation. And she told me that you aren't a Christian, Joshua, just because you grew up in a Christian home. And she shared a story with me about two types of lives, a life that's led by Satan or by the world, and then a life that the Lord Jesus Christ leads the person. She said that even though you're a Christian, you still have the choice. Even though you're born in a Christian home, you still have the choice of choosing one of these two lives. And I told her that I wanted the life of following the Lord Jesus, and so she explained to me the way of salvation. And it was that night that I knelt down with my mother and father and prayed to receive the Lord Jesus Christ into my life. There are a number of things that I'd like to share from the time when I grew up and when I was in high school, especially as an encouragement to some of the younger people that are here. But one thing that sticks out in my mind, and it's been a theme through the different speakers and people who have shared today, is the idea of doing mission work not just when you leave somewhere but at your home. When I was in high school, I had some times where I wasn't as excited and zealous about following the Lord, and then other times where I was. And when I was in 10th grade, there was a missionary who came to our church, and he said that short-term people could go over to Ireland and work with him. And for a few months during the summer, I told my mom that this is what I think I should be doing, this is where I think I should be going. And she and my dad talked it over, and they came to me and they said, we really don't think that you should go over there. We think that you should first be involved in doing work for the Lord here. And they didn't give me a specific thing to do, but they just said, pray and ask God for what he wants you to do here in Cincinnati, here in our assembly. And over the years, I've been very thankful for the wisdom and their decision in encouraging me to work in our assembly and to have the opportunity to lead children's meetings and that sort of thing. Before I start the presentation, I went to Albania about 2 years ago, and I met my wife, Bona, there. She became a believer in 1991, 1992. Communism fell in 1991, and the missionaries and the gospel was able to go in. In 1992, Bona became a believer. And we met and got married there in December. And then in January, almost right after we got married, we came back here. I had a back problem, a herniated disc, and I had surgery in May. When we initially came back, we thought we'd be going back again this summer, but it wasn't possible with my back. I had surgery in May, and we're hoping to go back as soon as possible as I continue to recover from the surgery. I also wanted to share a verse before we start, and it's from 2 Corinthians 5, if you'd like to turn there. Second Corinthians 5 and verse 20, and it says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And I want us just for a moment to think about the fact that we are ambassadors for Christ. In these verses, Paul talks about how we are a new creation, that because we've put our faith and trust in Christ, the old things have gone away and all things have become new. And we've been reconciled to God, and He's given us a ministry of reconciliation. We have the privilege of sharing the gospel with other people who are not yet reconciled to God. And He talks about us being ambassadors. And even though every point in this illustration isn't true, it's helped me to understand more what my job as a Christian is. I think about what the word ambassador means. And the ambassador that I have the most experience with is the American ambassador to Albania. I've never met him personally, and actually it's the ambassador changed recently, but I've seen the ambassador on TV, and I've heard people who have met this person. And he lives in Albania, and he works in Albania, but he's not from Albania. He's from the United States. Again, just so that no one misunderstands me, I'm not saying that the United States is the example of Christians. I'm just using this as an example for what an ambassador is. He lives in the United States. Even though we live here in this world, the Lord Jesus said, though you are in the world, you're not of the world. And our true home and the place where we'll spend eternity as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven. The ambassador there in Albania, even though he's in Albania and spends most of his time in Albania, the interests that he has in mind aren't the Albanian interests, but it's the American interests. He's been sent there by the United States and sent there for the purpose of carrying out American interests in Albania. And in the same way, even though we're in the world, we live here, we work here, the people that we know are on this earth. Some people that we know have gone to be with the Lord, but there's many people on this earth. We have God's interest in mind. We have heaven's interest in mind while we're here. The ambassador represents America there. The president isn't over there all the time in Albania, almost never visits Albania. But the ambassador is, and he represents America. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we represent, we're God's representatives here on earth. And even though the ambassador there shakes a lot of people's hands, even though he compliments the country that he's in greatly, he compliments Albania, he's never deterred from the reason that he's there. The interesting things, the fun things that go on there, the downside of his work there, don't deter him from the reason that he was sent. And as ambassadors for Christ, we shouldn't let the events of this world, the rise and fall of governments, economic prosperity or economic decline, any of these things that have such a great effect on the world, change our goals. Our goals should continue to be ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that, I think we'll begin the presentation on Albania. So, if we could have the lights dimmed a little bit, I think it would make it a little bit easier to see. While the computer's getting set up, I'll share a little bit more about Bona coming to know the Lord. In 1992, she heard the gospel for the first time. Her brother actually became a believer. He was 9 years old through some children's meetings. When the doors of communism first opened up, it wasn't just evangelical believers, but everybody went in. Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, Muslims from Saudi Arabia and Turkey went in there and started setting up mosques after communism fell. And Bona actually initially, when communism fell, converted to Catholicism, and her brother became a believer. And then a few months later, her sister became a believer. And they both wanted Bona to go to the meetings, but she said, "I've already converted once to one religion, and I'm not going to change again." And her sister would encourage her by saying that, "I haven't switched to another religion, but God's changed my heart and my life." And After 6 months, Bono also became a believer. Their family, even though they haven't been against them as far as persecuting them, they haven't, her mother and father haven't shown a lot of interest in knowing the Lord Jesus Christ or in reading the Bible. They've gone to church for special events, but not regularly, for about 10 years, and they've been praying for their mother and father. And around the time of our wedding in December, when my father was there and sharing the gospel repeatedly with them, the Lord began to work in her father's heart. Her father's name is Buyar, and he began studying the Bible. He made a commitment right before he left that he was going to start going to church every week, and began studying the Bible with an Albanian full-time worker there at the assembly. And he recently became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and next Sunday he'll be getting baptized. So it's a great encouragement for both of us, especially for Bone, after praying for her father for 10 years, that he's become a believer. And I've only known him for a little over a year, but the change in him is amazing. The greetings that he gives on the phone and the things that he talks about aren't the traditional greetings that everyone gives in Albania, but they're the Christian greetings now. And when he talks, it's about what he's learning in the Bible and the places where he has the privilege to go and share the word. If that one's not working, we can get the other slide projected. One other thing that I wanted to do, Poland, as was mentioned earlier, as Mark shared, was a communist country, and Albania was too. In 1991, the communism fell, and I just wanted to give people an idea of the percentages of believers and unbelievers that were there. So right now, before communism fell, everyone who's standing up in this room would represent the number of believers that were there in Albania. So if you look around, there's no one standing up. And in Albania, there were no known believers. In 1967, the communist dictator there, Enver Hoxha, declared Albania to be the world's first atheist state. And he said that, "We've closed all the churches, we've closed all the mosques, and there's no religious activity here." And some of you might have heard of a man named Brother Andrew. There's a book written about him named God's Smuggler. And he went to many countries, many communist countries, many radical Muslim countries, and handed out Christian literature. When he went to Albania, before communism fell, he handed out literature. I'm sorry, he didn't hand it out. He would put literature in public places, in restrooms, on benches, and he would go back a day later, and in Albania, in almost every instance, when he went back, the Bible or the tract would still be there, because people were so afraid to pick up and to have in their hand a Bible or a Christian tract. Anyone that was doing any religious activity was either sent to a camp, a work camp, or sent to jail. To give you a little bit more history before we get into before I start talking about the believers and the work that God's been doing there, does anyone know where Albania is mentioned in the Bible? In Romans chapter 15, if anybody knows what verse, this is still one of those extra credit questions. So. In Romans chapter 15, verse 19, it is, Paul said that he, in the power of the Spirit, he fully preached the gospel from Jerusalem and round about as far as Illyricum. Illyricum was, in that time, the piece of land that went from what today is modern-day Greece through Albania, Macedonia, to Kosovo, and into parts of Serbia. And the Albanians themselves know that their history comes from a tribe called the Illyrians. They're one of the oldest tribes there in Europe, and their history can be traced back to about 1,000 years before the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ and the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ on earth. And they've been a people that have been oppressed for many times during the history. At the earliest time by the Greeks, and then by the Romans, by Bulgaria, by Serbia, and then most recently by Turkey, from 1500 up until around the time of World War I, they were under the oppression of the Turks, and at that time most people were forced to convert to Islam. Because of that, most people in Albania, about 70%, are culturally Muslim. About 20% are Christian Orthodox, and about 10% are the cult groups that have gone in recently, Catholics, and then evangelical believers. So if we had a representative of the evangelical believers stand up, could the young man in the back stand up? The third row from the back? In the green shirt. That's you. You would represent the percentage of evangelical believers in Albania right now. So, okay, we can go to the next slide. As you saw, Albania is surrounded by Greece, Serbia, and Macedonia. It's across the Adriatic Sea from Italy. You can go ahead to the next slide. And again, next. Tirana is the capital city and Bono's hometown. Go ahead. And again. Go ahead. Pogradec, you can't see, it's kind of cut off there, is the city that I worked in. And then Korça is an area that a church was recently planted in the year 2001. These are some pictures, you can go through these pretty quick, of some scenery there in Albania, what an average village looks like, a few different shots there. Albania is a very mountainous country, and this is a picture of the capital city. There's a mosque there in the background. The statue is the national hero, a man who fought off the Muslims for about 30 years before the Turks controlled the country in the 1500s. This is an apartment building there. They were called palaces in the communist times because Enver Hoxha had the people convinced that they were living better than anyone else in the world. Enver Hoxha is the dictator, the Albanian dictator. Again, obviously you can see it doesn't look much like a palace. These are bunkers. There's about 600,000 of these in Albania. They were used with the idea that the imperialists, in other words, Americans, we're one day going to invade Albania and take control of the country, and this is what people are going to use to keep the Americans away. Again, I mentioned in 1991, the communism fell. Most of what the communists did was destroyed by the people who took over the country, and this came to a height in 1997 when there was anarchy in the country for 3 months. After that, international forces went in, and things have quieted down since then. Again. Okay. Democracy has also brought the opportunity for capitalism and for making money. If you can see a little bit of this is a T-shirt stand owned by one of the believers, and then there's another one you can't see over there who sells bananas. You can go ahead to the next. And then most importantly, democracy has brought the gospel, and this is a Christian center there in the capital city. Pogradec was the city that I worked in. It's a city, go ahead, of about 40,000 people on Lake Ohrid in between Albania and Macedonia, and then Korça is the city where the church was planted about 2 years ago. This is a picture of Pogradec. There's a lot of construction going on there in Albania, a lot of people who are building homes, and it's also an amazingly unique time for Christian work and for building up the church. This is the vineyard outside of our home. This is a picture of the mosque there in town. And this sign right here says, was put up during the month of Ramadan. It says, "Heaven is forever, fasting will take you there." And it gives you a look into the blindness and the foolishness of the religion of Islam, that people believe by doing different things, fasting is one of them for the month of Ramadan, that these things will take them to heaven. Outward things that do nothing to change the sin that's in their hearts. And Orthodoxism, as I mentioned, is also one of the major religions there. Who can guess what all these people are gathered at the lake for? There's about 1,000 of them gathered on January 3rd. I took these pictures. Any guesses? A race? Any other guesses?
Polar bears.
There were a few people jumped in the water that day, but the main reason they went there, you can go ahead and hit the next slide, was to get water. You can hit it again, and you'll see a little bit closer. The Orthodox priests had gone there and had blessed this lake water, which is dirty 365 days a year, and people were going to collect it, and they were going to put it in their home as something that would bring them spiritual benefit during the next year. You can go ahead to the next one. People also often put up stuffed animals in their homes that they think wards off the evil eye. This is a partial picture of the believers in Pogadets and Korcha, taken at a summer camp. George and Nancy Sturm went to Pogadets about 5 years ago and have been ministering there. The next one. Bono described them a while ago as a missionary family because all of them are involved in the missionary work there. His daughters are involved in work with the children, and their youngest daughter, who's 8 years old, is there anyone here who's 7, 8, 9 years old? They recently moved to a new house. It's very good. Thank you. They recently moved to a new home, and Anna has become the evangelist in the family, and the first week that they were in the new home, she brought about 5 or 6 kids to the children's meeting, so they were very excited about that. This is a picture of the old building. There, I'll show you a few pictures of the new building. This is when my family came over for a visit in July, and the man that I'm sitting next to was my language teacher. Albanian is an Indo-European language, but it's separate from any other language group in Europe. This is a picture of the young people. It was a privilege to work with the young people there. A lot of them, most of them, almost all of them were from unbelieving families, and they were the only believers in their family, or as a brother and sister, only the two of them were believers. And almost all of their parents had discouraged them from coming to the meetings, from reading their Bible. There was one boy who almost every time he'd leave his Bible on a desk or on a chair, unattended, it would be taken away and ripped up. And so for a few weeks he came and got a new Bible every week, and then after that he learned to keep his Bible with him at all times. But it was a privilege to work with the young men. They were very hungry for the Lord, very active in evangelism. This is when we're handing out calendars around the new year. This was evangelism work that we did in Korcha, because it was the beginning there for the assembly. And then in the summertime, we went to an apartment complex near the church, and we began holding meetings outside the apartment complex there. And about 30 to 40 kids would gather there each day. There were a few times where people would come and yell at us and tell us to leave. One time because we were keeping the kids in the shade and it was too cold and they were going to get sick. Another time it was because they were out in the hot sun. Sometimes it was because we just come to speak to them and we weren't giving them any money, and someone told us what they really need is money, and you need to hand out money and not the tracts and the calendars and the verses from the Bible. But we continue to meet there, and we'd have the meetings during the week, and then Friday night we'd invite all their parents to come for a meeting inside the chapel there in Korcha. This is the picture outside the meeting hall in Korcha that we rented above a little food mart. This is a picture of a family who a few years ago, none of them were believers, and then one by one they become believers. You'll see a few of them getting baptized at this baptism. When it's warm, the baptism takes place at the lake. This young man is Eugene. He was 16 years old, and he became a believer about 2 months after I went there to Albania, and I had the privilege of being involved in discipling him. And it was exciting to see the spiritual hunger that he had. He was a soccer player, and a very good soccer player. And after being a believer for about 2 months, he realized that he wasn't going to be able to continue with soccer and attend all the meetings at the same time. He was able to come on Sunday morning, but most of the other meetings were hard to meet. And without anyone else saying what you should do is quit soccer, he on his own was convicted that he needed to put the Lord Jesus Christ first above everything else. And so he decided to quit the soccer team and just play from time to time. This is the stepmother of the brother on the left, another member in their family who was baptized this baptism. And this is his brother-in-law. This is a picture of sheep. As you're walking along the road there in Albania, or as you're driving along, your car will often be stopped by sheep that are crossing the road, by pigs, by cows, a number of different things. This is actually taken in Greece. And with so many people coming to the Lord, so many new believers, they need guidance, they need to be fed. Jesus' admonition to Peter was, feed my sheep. And so just as evangelism is an extremely important part of the work, discipleship is as well. And this is a picture of a few of the guys that will come to my house every week for Bible study. And this is part of a picture. There's about four or five other young men who were part of the young men's group there that I would lead. And then now on the left is a picture of George Thurm, the missionary who's still there in Pogadets, leading a preaching training session for about five of the men there in the assembly who are beginning to preach. And this is the new building. The believers are very excited because rent had been paid for a while, and the rent cost was extremely high for the assembly there of the Albanian believers to pay. And so with the new building, it's the cost of electricity and keeping up the building is something that's affordable for the believers, so that after George and the others have finished their work there, and when they leave, the believers there can continue the upkeep without being needing foreign funds. This is another man who's working on the building, the owner of my home. And you can barely see this one, it's pretty dark. This is the first meeting that we had in the building. It was still concrete walls, no windows, but everyone was excited to meet there. Next one. These are pictures of meetings in the new building. And I wanted to show you a few pictures of a really exciting part of my time there when Bona and I got married in December. My family came over, and this is a picture with her family. My father and her father are in the middle, and her father, so Bona is on the far right, and then her mother and father. And her father, Buyar, is the one who's going to be baptized next week, next Sunday. And her mother has also made a profession of faith, and is studying the Bible, and it's very encouraging. We're praying that she'll make the step to get baptized soon, too. The picture at our wedding. And after the wedding, as we walk down. Now I want to share just for a short time about Kosovo. Kosovo is a country that's north of Albania. It's part of the former Yugoslavia or Serbia. And in 1999, there was a big conflict there. You probably heard about it in the news. NATO forces went over there and took control of the country. And they've given some of that, delegated some of that control to the Albanian police and the Kosovar police and the Kosovar government there. But there's still a big military presence. In 1999, when the refugees that were in Albania, who had fled from Kosovo, went back to Kosovo, an assembly was started there in Kosovo. The Muslims that are there in Kosovo are much more radical Muslims than in Albania. In Albania, they're pretty much culturally Muslim. In Kosovo, there are many people who are serious about their faith. Younger people who become believers are generally persecuted. There was one boy who became a believer, would kind of sneak out to the meetings, and then when he decided to get baptized, his mother had him sent to another city about 4 hours away so that he would have no contact with the missionary. And it was exciting. I was actually there the first day that he came back after being away for about almost a year. And he, even though he wasn't allowed to have a Bible there with him, he had continued to pray and to stay faithful to the Lord. And it's exciting to see. One of the missionaries there described it as the believers being in chains, not physically, but with the families and the persecution and the strong hold that parents can put on their children in a figurative way. They're in chains. And Kosovo is just north of Albania. You can see it there on the top right-hand corner. And Prizren is where the assembly was planted about 5 years ago. And then Pristina is the capital city of Kosovo, and that's where Bona and I are praying about returning. In Prizren, where there is an assembly, is a city of 130,000 people with over 30 mosques and one assembly, to give you an idea. You can see the difference. Well, you can only see a few of the tops of the mosque in the background. And Corinthians 4:5 says, "For the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the glory of God in the face of Christ." And it's really apparent as we had the opportunity to work some in Kosovo, the way that God has blinded the minds, not just of the Jewish people, but also of other peoples in the world. This is a picture of the missionary who's working there in Kosovo. He, when he was younger, he had polio, and he only has about 10 to 15% of the strength that he should have in one leg, so he has to walk around on a crutch. But he's been faithful and continuing on with the work there for 5 years, even though at times it's been very discouraging, as many people have come to the Lord, and then especially the younger people have been prohibited to continue on because of their parents. Other times it's been older people that have chosen to turn away because of the temptation, the discouragement. For example, one man who was in his 30s became a believer, and he told me that now that I'm a believer, no one in my village talks to me. They all walk by, and they don't even greet me. And through the pressure like that, people sometimes turn away from the Lord, and it can be very discouraging. So, a few prayer requests before we finish here. Pray for new believers in Albania, such as Bona's father. And again, he's getting baptized next week, which is a very exciting time. We wish we could be there, but we're happy to be able to pray for him here and to be an encouragement from here. Pray for George Sturm, the missionary there in Pogadet. There's also other assembly missionaries that I didn't work with directly who are there. You can pray for them as well as he trains the Albanian leaders to carry on the work when he goes. There's a number of brothers who have started preaching in the chapel, and it's really exciting to see. And also pray for the young people in Albania and Kosovo. Just another thing to add on, a big temptation for the younger people even though it's a temptation in the United States as well, has to do with marriage. And especially for the women there, there's no cultural identity for a woman who's not married. In America, it's common, or it's not uncommon, I should say, for a woman to be 25, 30, 35, 40, and to continue to be single and have good relationships, to have a good social network among different friends. In Albania, it's very taboo. Most of the time, people look at a woman as if there's something wrong with her when she gets to be about 25 or 30 if she's not married. And it's a big temptation for the women, especially the sisters there, as they look around the assembly and there might not be anyone their age, or they might not even have heard of a believer who is their age for them to get married to. So pray for the young people there to make wise choices in this area. And then also pray for God's future leading for my wife and I as we consider going back to Kosovo, and especially as we consider going back to the city of Pristina. It's a city without an assembly. There's a university there and lots of students who are interested, just as Brother Mark was mentioning earlier, in discussing ideas they've heard about from other countries and discussing the truths of the Christian faith. So we have about 4 or 5 minutes left, and maybe we could have the lights back on. And if there's any questions, just as Mark said earlier, I'll have the right to, what was it, the right to answer them if I choose? The right to not respond. Okay. Macedonia is on the border, the eastern border of Albania, and from the city that I lived in, Pogradec, it was about 10 minutes to the border.
Well, therefore, the gospel was there years ago.
Yes, the God. And what we read earlier in Romans, that Paul preached from Jerusalem, which is in Israel, roundabout to Illyricum. So he'd gone through Greece and preached in a number of cities in Greece, and then he went all the way to the ancient Illyrian tribe, which is present-day Albania, and preached in Albania and Macedonia. So, yes?
Two quick questions. What difficulties does the Orthodox group give you? Greek Orthodox. And secondly, language. Could you say a word about that? What language that you are required to speak in order to communicate? And if you go to Kosovo,
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are both really good questions. The first one, I'm sorry.
The Greek Orthodox.
Yeah. When we first started the church there in Korcha, Korcha is a much stronger Orthodox city, the first week, we put up a sign there advertising the meeting, and a lot of people, just like any new product on the market, came to the meeting wondering what was going to go on. A lot of people hoping to get a free bag of clothes or free medical supplies, and nothing happened that week. But the second week, when not as many people showed up, some Orthodox people from in the town came and threw rocks at the store to try to get the store owner not to let us rent. So it was tied in a little bit with renting the building again, and then also tore down part of the sign. And that was the most, as far as physical damage that's happened. In general, the Orthodox priests will tell people not to go to any evangelical meetings, that they're a cult, that they're corrupting you, they're trying to take you away from the true religion. And in general, the Orthodox people in that town were about as closed as the Muslim people in other towns. It's typical in Albania, if you are a foreigner, to knock on someone's door and for them to invite you in, even if they really don't want to hear what you have to say about the Lord Jesus Christ, to invite you in and to talk to you. But in that town, most of the time when we'd go around and hand out literature in that Orthodox town, people would take it and then close the door, or sometimes refuse the literature that we had. And then as far as the language goes, Albanian is an Indo-European language. I think I mentioned that before, actually. And it's not like any of the other languages around Albania. In other words, you can't understand it if you know Macedonian or Romanian or Greek, but there are a lot of borrowed words. And so Albanian is the name of the language that people speak in Albania. In Kosovo, people speak Albanian, but it's a different dialect. And everyone will understand me when I go there, since I've learned the grammatically correct way to speak Albanian. But there's a lot of words that we're in the process of learning right now that are different in Kosovo from Albania. So it won't be like learning another language again, but we do have some work to do. Any other questions? No, we don't have the videos here to show you, but it was very different than the traditional American wedding. We did have American, Albanian, and Italian traditions for weddings incorporated into our wedding, since the missionaries that started Bonus Church were Italian. It's really exciting, the weddings there in Albania, because there's the Christian tradition for weddings is just being started now. Before the gospel came into Albania, it was just a party at someone's house for the wedding and then signing the marriage license at the government office. But now people are getting married in churches, the believers are. Yes, sir?
I understand that many of the Italian assemblies have been working in Albania. Can you tell us something about that?
Yes, the Italians were the first from the assemblies to go in right after communism fell, within a few weeks. And they were the ones that first established the church in Tirana, where Bona's from, and they've established, the assembly, and they've established about 10 other assemblies in cities, major cities, and then also in villages. And it was the Italian brethren that were responsible for beginning the work in Kosovo as well. So they've done a lot of work there.